Now, all of this up here is just props. And I've been doing a summer series of illustrated sermons. And I did a boat sermon the other week where I had water on me and my boat was filling up. And then the boat sprung the leak. And we about got everything wet back there. And it didn't go well. But it was a good message. And God will preserve you in the storm, right? The rope of faith, you know, love will lift you, the preserver. Someone can connect heaven, 911. They'll get a hold of God on your behalf, and somebody will pray, and it'll make it through the storm because Jesus said you're going to the other side. And so I preached that message in all the locations yesterday or the last couple of weeks. I preached this message. It's called Slime Me. And I asked for volunteers as people were walking in, and I had various responses. You know, some would say, oh, no, they were shy. They didn't want to do that. Then I had others with this devious-looking smile that said, sure, I'll do that. So if you've ever wanted to slime the preacher, this will not be your Sunday. I just want you to know that. But I have to tell you that all of us have been slimed one time or another. And what do I mean by that? False accusation. Has anybody ever said anything about you that wasn't true? Oh, I'm preaching to the wrong church. I guess it's only been me. Okay, has anyone ever said anything about you that was not true? Okay, here's the bad part. Has anyone ever said anything bad about you that you accepted as truth and began to believe and it altered your life? That's called defilement. It's called believing an evil report, and it happens all the time. Look, I want us to have spiritual health. I want the body of Christ to be healthy. You know, we need to have the strength of the Lord, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I want you to be healthy. I want us to be healthy physically. You know, people understand the importance of not eating junk food. People understand, you know, not to eat all of those hydrogenated or whatever it's called, fats, what do you call those things? Saturated, hydrogenated, and saturated, and anyway, all of that stuff, and too much sugar. Why? Because it diminishes your health, and you're not going to live an optimum life, right? You got to get exercise every day. You have to get out there and exercise. Why? So that motion is lotion, especially as you get older. A lot of times you're just like, get up in the morning, you're like, oh, I'm so stiff, I can't hardly move. Motion is lotion, baby. So you got to keep moving, right? All these things, physical side of it. But in the spirit, I want you healthy as well. Because what good is it if we work on our physical body, and yet spiritually, we are sick, we are diseased, we are hurting. And a lot of times we become sick, diseased, and hurting based on what others have said to us or about us. And it's called being defiled. Matter of fact, I have a great illustration. Just a few weeks ago, in another location, I was talking like I'm talking right now. And somebody stood up and accused me of being a liar in front of all the congregation. Well, yeah. Now, good thing you weren't there because you'd have got them, right? Okay, wait a second. So what do you do in a situation like that? I said, excuse me, sir, this is not the right time. I'll talk with you afterwards. I'll be happy to address any of your concerns, blah, 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 blah. Finally, you know, after coaxing with some others, he sat down, and when the congregation said, sit down, we didn't come here to hear you, we came here to hear the word, you know. So it was like very unnerving for that moment. How many know that is what you call getting slimed? I was slimed, but I was doing the boat message. So then I had to get in the boat and get drowned. So I got slimed before the boat message, which I got drowned. Because the young man who was pouring water on my head to illustrate the fact of the waves breaking over into your boat didn't understand he's supposed to dump the water on me. He took 5 gallons and he waterboarded me. In other words, slowly pouring it out, and I couldn't breathe, and it was running into my face. I'm like, stop! I'm hitting him on the back and like, that's enough! I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'm doing any more illustrated sermons. And so here we are today, and we're going to do another illustrated sermon. So if you're visiting with us, I'm sorry. If it freaks you out. But I want you to get your Bible out. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 21. This is a powerful word. And the Bible says that death and life, say that with me, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say the power of the tongue. Now, you may not have understood this before, but your tongue is power-filled. Your tongue is power-filled. The Bible said death and life are in the empowerment of your tongue. So it's not death and life in your mouth like you'd have marbles in your mouth or a good and plenty in your mouth. It's the empowerment that God gave you and me in our mouth. Death and life preside in that empowerment. So we have to understand what we say can either produce life or what we say can produce death. That's why it's important not to complain about your city. Complain about your job. Complain about other people. Dog people out. Why? Because you are releasing death into the life situation that you're experiencing. But you want to bless and curse not. That's why Jesus said, don't curse those who despitefully use you, but pray for them and bless them. And it's a principle. So we want to be careful that we don't allow our mouths, our tongue, to be empowered for death, but rather for life. Now, I have had evil reports spoken, negative attitudes given toward my life, most of my life. Inside and outside the church. It seems like everybody has an opinion, right? And they're willing to share it because they think they're right and you are wrong. So if you're wrong, I'm empowered to tell you I'm right. But they fail to recognize that I have the empowerment of death in what I say. So I'm imparting to you by expressing what I feel or my opinion, I'm expressing a death sentence to that situation or to your life, and it becomes so destructive. The Bible says it could even destroy long-lasting relationships by what people say about other people. That's found in Proverbs 16:28. It says, a whisperer separates chief friends. Now, I'm sharing all this with you because I want us as the body of Christ to be very healthy. Everybody has an opinion, say, about T.D. Jakes. People have been expressing their opinion concerning, allegedly, what he has said about the homosexual community. You weren't there. You didn't hear what he said. It was reported, but now you get an opinion and you voice it. People make comments about Joel Osteen. Never been to his church, never have talked to him, never have heard it for themselves, but based on what others have said, they assume a position and begin to repeat negatively about another person. That's called defilement. It's releasing death into the atmosphere. Now, this is going to get quiet before it gets louder, and it's probably going to be a little more solemn before it gets happy. But we'll get to happy, okay? But I want you to hear this because negative and fear-based conversations can literally quench the Holy Spirit and create a mindset in your life and my life of defeat and futility. Because when people don't believe in you, you begin to take on their opinion and you personify it. You begin to live out that life as if they are prophetically declaring over your life. So we have to be careful that wrongdoing or evil reports, they should never be covered up. Matter of fact, Matthew 18 says this, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. I didn't put the word in there alone. It's not for the Bible study. It's not for your prayer group. It's not for your friends over coffee. He said alone. That means you and her. That's what it means. And he said, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. But in the body of Christ and in the Western mindset of America, we think we can tell anybody what we think in spite of what the Bible declares. And we are actually bringing destruction upon ourselves, and we have become unhealthy as a church. We want to get our health back. Amen. We want to get our health back. Toxic relationships can leave you slimed. I have been slimed many times in my life through the spirit of rejection. My family, what they've said about me, church members who have declared untruths about me and have shared it with others, and people have believed it, and they never even asked me if it was true. How is it we can believe what another person tells us without substantiating it as whether it's true or false? And then we live out our life according as if it were true. But wouldn't that be something, is if you make a decision based on what you were told and it was a lie, and you live as if it was the truth, you are missing your destiny. You see how the devil works on this? It is so important that we go to the person. Here's my feeling. If someone is coming to me, and I want you to think about this, and they're telling you about somebody else, they're going to tell you what they heard. I just want you to, I'm going to tell you what I heard so you can pray about it. See, don't spiritualize it. And don't spiritualize it. And don't pull the God card on me. Holy Spirit told me to tell you. That's not true. That's what that gentleman said when he got up and interrupted the service. He said, Holy Spirit told me to say that in the service. I said, the Holy Spirit didn't tell you that. He goes, he did so. I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I said, you mean the Holy Spirit contradicts his word? The Bible says not to bring an accusation against an elder unless there's two or three witnesses, number one. The Bible says, Matthew 18:15, you ought to go to your brother in private, not on a Sunday morning. And number three, let everything be done decently in order. They said, well, that may be true, but in the Old Testament, prophets went right to the kings and told them what God was going to do. And I said, so now you're taking an Old Testament scenario and bringing it into the New Testament, and you're equating me or this church with a reprobate nation who is offering their children to the god Moloch and serving Baal. Is that what you're trying to say? You get what I'm saying? We pull the God card all the time. Don't do it. Don't say, Holy Spirit told me. I just want you to pray. No, that's not true. You are, when a person does that, not you, because we're the 6% here, but when a person does that, come on, look at somebody and say, I'm glad I'm a part of the 6%. Amen. Woo. I ain't like the rest of them reprobates out there. Woo. Glory to God. So when you experience any of those toxic statements, you walk away with a lingering effect of what just happened. See, you don't look different on the outside. But when you listen to a false accusation without it being substantiated, and this is what I like to tell people. Stop right there, please. Have you talked to this person yet? And they say, well, no. I said, then why are you talking to me? But here's the problem. Like sales at the local department store, we love to hear the gossip. We like to know the junk. I want to know the junk on you. I want to know the junk on you. You know why? Because it makes me feel better. It makes me feel more important when I know that you have a problem and I don't. So I got to tell everybody about your problem so I look more righteous. I look more important. See, it's really not about the issue or the statement. It's about my insufficiency in regards to who I am in Christ. I don't have an identity in Jesus, so I'm trying to create an identity that's a false identity by looking at you and saying, you're subservient, you're under my feet. I'm more important than you are because I would never do that or say that. Now, this is a preaching message, but it's also a very important teaching message, okay? So here we go. All right. So, ignorance is not bliss. Tell the state highway patrolman that when you're going 85 and you didn't see a 65 sign. You say, dude, I didn't know. I didn't know it was 65. He's going to say, oh, you didn't know? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. We should post more signs. I'm going to call my supervisor and tell him we should post more signs. Have a good day. Do you think that's what he would do? Absolutely not, because your ignorance is not an excuse. Well, I didn't know it wasn't true. I didn't know that they were just spreading lies. I didn't know. Oh, so ignorance has let you off the hook? No, you're still getting a ticket. Right? You're still getting a ticket. So here's what I like to do. When I talk to people, I always look to see if they have a bucket in their hand when they talk to me. Often they'll talk to you with it behind their back. And you're like, I'm like, what's back there? What they have in their hand is a bucket. Because if they have a bucket in their hand, you better get ready because you're about to get slimed. So be aware of conversation. Why? Because what is in conversation? The power of what? Life and death. If we believe that, then every conversation I have, I must guard my mind, protect my spirit, and walk in truth. I should never permit an intrusion into my righteous standing with God based on someone's false accusation or report about another. You know, sliming comes from a lot of things. It comes from words, but it also comes through facial expressions. Amen. You know how people try to slime you? They'll be like rolling their eyes. Or they'll do one of these. Smack their lips. Or they'll shake their head. Oh, no. You know, you ever around those kind of people like, I know what you're doing right now. I know what you're doing. I was in church Sunday. You're sliming me right there. I see that. So sometimes it's in facial expressions. Sometimes it's gestures. T and I got slimed last night. We're pulling in at a stop sign. I was at the stop sign 60 seconds before the other guy on the right pulled up to his stop sign. So soon as the person crossed the street, I started to go ahead and go. They pulled out in front of me. And I'm like, whoa, dude. I'm like, real close to their car. And the lady turned around. They were in a convertible. She turned around and she waved at me. She said, hey. But she didn't use all her fingers to wave at me. I said, Tina, we just got slimed. So sometimes don't act like you've never been slimed like that. You've been slimed like that. Teenagers know how to slime you with their little attitudes. Come on. All right. So we have attitudes. We have words. We have facial expressions. How else do we get? Sometime we even get slimed by people's conduct. An elusive cold shoulder. I remember one time I walked up to this gentleman. I said, hey, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. He didn't say anything. He was looking straight ahead. So I sat down in the chair next to him, and I said, so you've been doing good, family, well, and great to see you here tonight. And he's not looking at me. He's not talking to me. I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel slimed right here. I said, well, it's nice to have you here and nice to see you. I don't know what else I said. I said, well, I guess I better go. Never looked at me, never acknowledged me. And I thought, okay. And I just pat him on the shoulder. I said, well, it was great to see you. Have a great day. And never looked at me, never acknowledged my presence. So I got up and walked away, and I said, whew, I just got slimed. Never looked at me, never changed his emotion, never changed his facial expression, didn't wave at me with one finger, didn't do any of that stuff. And yet, how many know when I walked away from that situation, I felt different than I did when I walked into the situation? So when you experience slime, you may look the same, but you don't feel the same. Come on, tell somebody you never feel the same. after you've been slimed. So let me give you, real quick, of course you're probably not taking notes because you all know this, but let me just say this. What do you look for? Okay? What do you look for? You look for busybodies with buckets. Busybodies are people who dig up or take the job to spread false reports because they got offended over someone else's offense. They didn't even get offended, but they're offended now because their friend got offended. So now they are just a person who's digging up and taking the job to spread the false report about what happened to their friend. Secondly, a whisperer. Everybody say whisperer. What is a whisperer? A person who secretly passes on false reports, often using prayer requests or the God card or the Holy Spirit. That's a whisperer. That's what the Bible calls a whisperer. And sometimes you're going to have to look for the person who's a gossip. Now, what's a gossip? A gossip is a person who magnifies and sensationalizes rumors. Here's the power of a gossip. They use partial truth. That gives it some substance, but it's not substantiated by truth. It's still a false report, but a gossip is very sly. They know how to take partial truth and magnify it, manipulate it, and turn it into a false accusation, so they'll hook you and reel you in. Now, what I'm trying to teach us here today is that this is demonic activity using well-meaning people. I'm not saying they're demonized, but there is demonic spirit behind the scene who is trying to bring division, strife, hatred among the body of Christ, among families, based on what someone has said about someone else. I remember when I was in high school, we used to get in fights after school at 3:05 behind the auditorium. Why? Because you said something to me. What'd you say? You said my mama wears combat boots. Ain't nobody saying that about my mama. You can talk about anybody else, but don't you talk about my mama. I heard you talked about my mama. You said she wore combat boots. Dude, we're going to fight this. We're going to fight it out because nobody talks about my mama. We get in fights over what somebody said. How stupid. It's still happening. That's how churches multiply. They're divided down the middle. Why? Because of what somebody said. And sometimes they're slanderers. Now, slanderers are a little different. Slanderers are unique because what they want to do is, come on, dear. What they want to do is they want, take off your shoes, Lou. You don't want to mess up your shoes because it's going to get messy. See, but I've got to illustrate what the other person looks like when they hear something that's not true. Here's what a slanderer does. Oh my, you're ready. A slanderer is a person who seeks to destroy another person's credibility or reputation by distorting the facts or exaggerating the truth. And so, can you get up high enough? You need me to duck down. All right. So after they do that, go ahead. Go ahead. After they say that, this is what you look like when you leave their presence. See, you're walking away thinking everything is normal. But everybody else knows you're not normal. Because you have been slimed. That's why I left my glasses on. Now I can see. You see, ladies and gentlemen, a slanderer will take every effort to reduce and destroy your credibility. This is what we call being slimed. Now, you could tell I look different now. Do I look different? I feel different. You see, now that I've been slimed, I don't feel the same. Now I have to live with what got on me. Now I have to decide how I'm going to go forward in my life with this mess that got on me. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. Listen to me now. The enemy is not fighting you today to try to destroy where you are and what you've accomplished. But he's fighting you today to prevent you from getting to your next assignment and walking in your destiny and in your future. So he will do everything he can to alter your course, to steal your courage, to discredit you as a person, so that you'll quit and you'll give up and never fulfill your destiny. He can't do anything about the ground you've already achieved. He concedes what you've become, but he will not concede what you will be without an attempt to try to destroy you. And most of the time, it's through the whisperer, toxic relationships, sliming them some way or another that throws us off course. You have to make a decision. I won't be defiled. I won't be defiled. See, the words of a talebearer, Proverbs 18, listen to this, are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Let me tell you what sliming does. The Sunday that gentleman stood up and made false accusations, it mattered not that I have 40 years of credibility and ministry history. Didn't matter. Because at that moment, he presented a case that I was a liar. Unbeknownst to him, but the devil knew, there was a family in church that morning who hadn't been in church for 6 years. Someone told them, you need to go to church on the North Coast, and there's a great ministry there. You'll be loved. The people are loving. So she came with her husband and their children, first time in 6 years, because they got hurt at their last church. This happens. She calls her friend in tears, saying, after what happened this morning, my husband said he's done. He'll never step foot in another church again. You see, what the enemy wanted to do, not only to defile me, to throw me off of my course, but to defile and throw off the course others who are in the process of coming into the kingdom manifestation. Another woman wrote this 2 days later. I came from a church where the pastor lied. And now I came to this church, first Sunday, and I hear that the pastor's a liar here too. Is there any church where there's no liars in the pulpit? And I share that with you so that it illustrates the severity of how the enemy will use one slime on one person to impact and to refute the destiny and progress and future of the body of Christ at large. Are those people redeemable? I don't know. But I do know this, they were so impacted to go into tears, and the other woman said, there must not be a church where they're not all liars. She became defiled based on one man's opinion. And he basically made his conclusion without even talking to me. to offer clarification of what he was accusing. Because the facts are, what statement I made originated in the context of a conversation I had with someone. But in that conversation, since that time, they changed their mind and decided to do something else without telling me. So I told them that the context of my original conversation was what was going to happen. They didn't tell me that they changed their mind. So I came across as if I was lying. I wasn't lying. I was sharing what I knew. But nobody asked me. But now we've got two families who are now defiled, and many others that probably will never come back silently, that will never say anything. And how many know that the devil won that day? But I think it's time to punch the devil in the mouth. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach another illustrated sermon about punching the devil in the mouth. But I need somebody to volunteer to be the devil. You can never be the same after listening to a talebearer. You know, there's times I go to hospitals and they tell me to gown up. The person inside is sick. They've got a disease. It's very contagious. So you got to put a gown on. You got to put gloves on. You got to put a mask on. And so I walk in there and I say, "Hi, it's Pastor. How are you?" They recognize my voice. And the reason why they do that is because the disease that that person has, if I have a contact with them, I will catch their disease. Or I could affect their immune system. It's one or the other ways. That's what happens when you listen to a negative or false report. It diseases your thinking. Do you know how many people in the body of Christ are diseased in their thoughts? It's time for us to be healed in our thinking toward other people. And this crosses the spectrum of every aspect of life. Ethnicity, economics, social standing, denominationalism, political party and affiliation. I could go on and on and on. But we have been diseased by believing lies that are reported to us through people and opinions, and we accept as truth. And it's causing this nation, it's causing the church, it's causing individuals to miscalculate their purpose and destiny. But we are exposing the devil. We are exposing the lie, and we are going to see the victory. Can I get an amen? Amen. You see, defilement is receiving a false report and believing it's true. That's what defilement is. For example, she doesn't like you. I just wanted you to know that. She doesn't like you. Oh, she doesn't like you? She doesn't like me? Oh, so I received the report and I concluded it's truth. That's a defilement. I've now been defiled. I've been slimed. Or you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. You're worthless. I believe that. So now I substantiate it by my agreement. It's not truth, but I substantiate it and it alters my life. What else? Sometimes when we believe it's true, when people say, they said you're not honest, or they said that you're a charlatan. You're only here. You know, I've had people say this. Sometimes it's true, but it's not. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. I have to go find out if it's true. And the person that's usually telling me has never talked to the person. They'll say, "Well, you know, so-and-so, they come to the church because they're trying to find a girlfriend." You know, if you believe that, every time you see them, you're going to be looking at, okay, don't be looking at my wife. Or don't be looking at my daughter. It defiles, it changes the way you look at that person based on what you believed about what they said about that person. Or they could be an insurance salesman. Please, I love insurance salesmen. We need insurance. But the only reason why they come to the church is because they want to write policies. And you'd say, "Oh, really? That's the only reason why they're here? They told me they love the preaching." Oh, they're lying. They told me they really don't like your preaching, but they're here because it's a larger congregation and they figure they could get 5 or 6 good policies out of it. So every time I see them, what am I doing? I'm looking to see if they're writing a policy in the restroom. It what does it do? It defiles you the way you look at that person. When you walk around in life with a belief system of your deficiencies or of the false accusations, come on, you can come. When you walk around like I did for 40 years, believing that I wasn't worthy of love and acceptance unless I performed to the expectation of the people around me, I believe that lie. It created in me a personality that worked hard at winning approval. You know how hard that is to please everybody? When we only should be concerned about pleasing God? What happens is we develop a life that's not who we are. We develop a personality that's not true to how God created us. We actually are deformed based on these experiences and conclusions, and we walk around. Can you reach me? We walk around slimed. I forgot to put my glasses back on. But you know one nice thing about this stuff? Is it's edible. Oh, Clarence, you're so sweet. Thank you. I'm just going to wipe my eye. You see, we're never the same. I lived 40 years as a person who God never intended for me to be. When I got de-slimed, I had to get used to living who I was. I believe there are people here and watching online who have lived a life that God never has intended. Because you accept the truth, the untruth as truth, and you live a life that is false. And it has prevented you from reaching your destiny. See, once exposed to the negative report or bad attitude, or even a false report, and you believe it's true, you've been slimed. You walk around as if you were diseased. Nobody wants to hear the C word, cancer. But I think even worse is slime. It defeats people. It makes them feel insignificant. It hurts them. And then they have to retaliate in anger. Then they have to cry out. They have to create a movement to say, we're not that way. We're this way. It defiles a nation. And it defiles the church. We lose our true identity as people in Jesus. You see, false reports, and you believe it is truth. I pray that in the Spirit, I could have a bucket of slime over every conversation I hear from one Christian to the other that was unsubstantiated, or they did not go to the person first, and just dump it on them. To remind them the fact that look what you're doing. Do you realize what you're doing? Do you realize how the enemy is using you to bring discouragement and to bring a dissatisfaction about someone's life and to believe that they're not worthy? Do you understand what your words have done? They're death words. I'm diseased. I'm dying slowly based on what you said, Dad. Mom, it's what you said. Neighbor, teacher, husband, wife, it's what you said, pastor. And we're dying a slow death. But Jesus has come to give us life, and that more abundantly. And we ought to walk in the abundant life of Jesus. How do you know you're diseased? Number one, you're mentally and emotionally controlled by the false, unsubstantiated truth. Example. When I experienced rejection, when I experienced that I was not supposed to be born, that I had no significance, when I understood that I was rejected, you know what I did? I would go into every relationship with the expectation of what? Rejection. So I either had to reject them first before they rejected me, or stand aloof and keep distance so in case they slam on their brakes, I don't get rear-ended. It changes your life. And then in the middle of that, people judge you for standing aloof. But they don't know my pain. They don't know how it's changed me. They don't know what the sliming did to my life. But Jesus was slimed at the cross. He was without sin. He became slime for you and me. And when we slime each other, it's as if we negate the work of the cross. Folks, we have to be people who are willing to get healed. My prayer today is before we close, Holy Spirit will move into this place and start healing some people who have been living a slimed life. And nobody knows what it's like to be slimed until you've been slimed. See, I have this weird sensation around my head right now that you don't have. And I don't want you to have it. But people don't know what it's like. For example, in the race issue, no one knows as an African-American child what it's like to be slimed by being called a certain N-word on the playground. You don't know what that's like. And you could say, oh, get over it. It's how people are. No, they've been slimed. Nobody knows what it's like when you have two or three failed marriages. And you've been slimed. And now people don't trust you around their husbands. And they're looking at you with this uncertainty about what your true motives are. And your whole life has been changed as a result. Nobody even knows what it's like to get up in the morning and you can't get cleansed. You can't wash it off. You live this way. You go to bed this way. You wake up this way. You preach this way. Nobody knows what that's like. And if we create an empathetic attitude towards people and say, I want you to be cleansed, and whatever it takes. Because Christians, we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit when we become negative and we have a toxic-filled life and we try to worship. Come on, Weston. We try to worship. And even though my glasses, thank you. We are trying to worship the Holy Spirit. Listen to me before you do it, Weston. The Holy Spirit is present. And the whole time as you're standing there, you're thinking about the slime that you're wearing. And you're feeling as if it just happened again. And you know, a lot of people say, come on, you got to worship Jesus. Come on, get excited. It's a little hard to get excited, friend, when you look like this in the spirit. And when you're worshiping, it happens again. Go ahead. Oh, Lord. And when you're there and nobody understands it, it can become devastating. So I say to all my fellow slimers or fellow slimed, I feel you. And Jesus wants you cleansed. And when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he turned me around, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, makes me want to shout. And so I want to offer to this generation a shower. I remember the old song. There shall be showers of blessing. Showers of blessing from high. You know, I never really understood the need for a shower of blessing until I got slimed in church the first time. Let me give you four ways quick and I'm going to quit. Got to get out of this. By the way, if you're visiting, I want to meet you afterwards and give you a hug. So please meet me. I just want to hug somebody. Ooh. I'm going to find somebody. Holy Spirit, show me who. Show me who, Lord. No, seriously, I'm going to jump in there, clean up, change my clothes, and I want to meet you in the foundry, shake your hand, and God bless you and meet you and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so please stay for a minute. I'll hurry, I promise. It won't take me long. But here's four steps to de-slime and get on with your life. Number one, identify the source. It wasn't your mom or your dad. It wasn't your ex. It wasn't that church member. You have to differentiate the trauma from the person and recognize the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. From the time I broke my mother's womb, the devil hated my guts. He hated you. But guess what? We win. We do. We win. And we win big. We just don't win by a point. We embarrass him. He's under my feet, right? He is totally destroyed, utterly pulverized. Get thee behind me, devil. See? So I have to understand where the source is. And I need to ask the Holy Spirit to identify what exactly has come against me and tried to attack me. And here's what I do. I want to know how what I heard has changed me. How what I've been hearing all my life has changed me. You know how hard it is for me to walk into a room where there's people? Not like this, large group orderly, this is cool, small group of people that I don't know. You know how hard that is for me? You say, why is it hard? Because I've been slimed. And I have to walk in there and I have to act like I'm cool like they are. But the whole time, I'm nervous, I'm uneasy, and I'd rather stay home. Because I really don't want to put myself in that place. Because I don't like rejection because it hurts. You say, well, that's stupid. You're like older, you shouldn't be that way. I have to recognize the source. When I walk into that room, I have to take authority and say, devil, I refuse to allow what you said or did to me to change who I am. I'm beautiful. I'm talented. I'm anointed. I'm gifted. I'm the best friend that anybody could ever have. I'm loving. I'm handsome. I'm exciting. Maybe not like this, but you've got to tell yourself a what? Truth. Number two. Say, shut the door. Thank you, all six of you. Say it with me, shut the door. Once you realize there are spiritual forces attacking you, stand against them in the name of Jesus. Satan, I stand against you in the name of Jesus. You will not ever again speak these words to me. And if you do, I won't believe them. I'll say, get behind me, talk to the hand, because I'm not listening. Refuse to harbor hatred and stew your thoughts concerning the abuser. Forgive him. Let it go. You got to let it go. You can't keep harboring unforgiveness. Because what you're doing is you're holding on to the slime. Remember the old song? What can wash away my sin? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All right, let me ask this. What can wash my slime away? Close. Nothing but the water of the word. Ephesians 5:26 says this, sanctify and cleanse with the washing of the water of the word. What do I have to do? I have to get the water of the word operating in my life. I have to get under the fountain. I have to go to the word and say what the word says about me so I can get off of what the world has been saying about me. I am smart. I am beautiful. I am talented. I am anointed. Go ahead. Give me some, baby. Wash me and I shall be clean. Come on. The water of the word will cleanse your life from all the junk that people have put on you. But you can't stop with one dip. You're going to have to keep going back to the fountain. You're going to have to keep breaking that word every morning. You're going to have to get in there and say, God, what do you say about me? Give me some more Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I'm starting to feel normal. And you got to go to the house of God, hear the word of God being preached, say, give me some word, preacher. And then when you get the word from the preacher, you need to go back home and turn on the TV and listen to your favorite Bible preacher and say, give me some more word. I got to be cleansed by the word. Give me some more. And you start feeling normal again. We don't even know how good we're going to feel until we've been washed in the water of the word and get that junk off of us that we've been carrying all of our lives. Don't you think it's time to get cleansed and go to the river and be baptized in the word of the living God so you can refocus on the truth, transform your mind, transform your soul, and let love begin to operate in your life. It thinks no evil. It rejoices in the truth. It believes all things. It endures all things. It hopes all things. You can get up in the morning and actually love God and love other people. You can love yourself and you can have a zippity-doo-dah-day because God is on the throne and the slime is off of your head. Just remember, if you get washed by the water, you can't put on your slime glasses and start looking at life the way things used to be. You need to cleanse those glasses. You need to wash those glasses. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see. Well, I could do the moonwalk real easy. Look. You've got to get a clear perspective about your future. You need to recalculate. When your GPS is off, it has to recalculate. When your direction is off, the Holy Spirit is going to be your comforter in times of stress and times of trouble. He's going to navigate for you where you need to go. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to pray for people. I'm not going to come and hug you. I'm not going to lay hands on you because you don't want that today. But I am going to pray for you if you have been living under slime and under a false representation of who others have made you out to be. You don't have to stand. You don't have to raise your hand because God knows your heart and you know your heart. And if you want that prayer, all you got to do is say amen to Jesus, not to me. And I'm going to believe God for a supernatural touch. Let's do it right now. Maybe you want to lift your hands up to Him, posture yourself into the presence of the Lord. Father, I ask now, people who have shared opinions about others and who have shared false accusations and said mean things to my family and my friends that are here this morning, God, I'm asking, Father, that the washing of the water of the Word would cleanse them, heal them, and restore them. I pray, oh Father, that we would forgive those who have slimed us. And Father, wash us, and we shall be clean. Father, like Peter, I pray, Father, today, not just our feet, but all of me. I thank you, Father. And I want to thank you for the new days ahead. I want to thank you for the new life that's going to be in my future. I thank you, Father, for the new perspective. I'm not who they say I am. I am who you have said I am. I'm a child of God, the living God. And I praise you for it, Father. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, hey, preacher, I don't know that if I were to die today that I would go to heaven. I don't even know if I believe in a heaven or hell. But I feel and sense the love of Jesus in this room. And I need prayer today. I want to know God. And I want to know Him as my Father. And you're sitting there thinking, if you would just pray for me. Man, if that's you today, you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven. You want to say no to the devil and say yes to God. Then I'm going to ask you to do something for me. On the count of three, just acknowledge your need for Christ by lifting up your hand. And I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, just hold it up. Yeah, way there in the back, right there as well, and over there. Anybody else? I can see it high enough. Okay, back there. Thank you very much. Anyone else? Yeah, there and there. Anybody else? I could see it. Amen. 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 Can we put on a worship song? That'd be awesome if you could. Or you guys are up here, you could sing. That'd be great. But this is the moment to do that right now. So if you can. So here's what I want to do. I want to have our altar ministers to come up around the front. And they're going to be praying with you. Just that's all they're going to do. You're not joining this church. You're not, you know, giving anything. All you're doing is going to receive prayer. Prayer is free. And we just want to be a blessing to you and agree with you and encourage you today. So I'm going to ask you right now, if you raise your hand, we're going to stand in a minute. I want you to do something for me, okay? And I got a revelation of this the other day. When a person stands, that's the preparation of a change of direction. After you've been seated a while, when a person stands, you're making preparation to change a direction. Many of you will turn and go that way. But please, those of you that raise your hand, come this way first, okay? So stand to your feet, please. Thank you. And if you raise your hand, would you just come this way and let us pray with you? Just walk down the aisle. We're not going to do anything other than pray with you. Come on. Would you do it? I believe it's important that you come and allow this prayer to touch your life. There in the back as well, over here. I remember your hands and back here. And look over at somebody and say, look, if you raise your hand, I'll go with you. So you don't have to go yourself. Why don't you ask somebody that? And then we're just going to worship the Lord for the next minute or so as a team leads us. So would you guys do that? That'd be great. Oh, okay. And Dominic's going to close. Pastor Dominic's going to close us. I'll give it to him so I could get wiped off. Okay? Amen. Go ahead.
Before you leave, I just want to share with you what we have going on. Next week, our youth ministry is going to be taking a trip. We're going on a retreat, and I know we've been talking about it a lot, so you've probably heard about it, but I'm very, very excited for this trip. You know, last year, we had about 25 students at this retreat, and out of the 25 students, last night, we began to speak on the Holy Spirit, and out of 25, 17 of them spoke in tongues for the first time. We had an incredible move of God, and we're expecting even more this year. And so we're asking for your help today, and there's a couple of different ways you can help us get to this retreat. We have our ushers standing at the door, and if you feel led to give, we need to raise about $1,000 today, this Sunday. So if you could please help us out, drop some money in the basket on your way out. Also, there's a table in the back, and Abby is back there, and we are selling really cool water bottles. They're really cool. They say hello, they say CNC on them. So pick one of those up. It's a minimum donation of $10, but I'm going to challenge you today. It costs about $65 for one of these students to go to this retreat. And so I know this is expensive, but I want to challenge you to buy a $65 water bottle. Buy a $65 water bottle. Send a student that could possibly have their lives changed in this moment to the retreat. And I promise you, the Lord, we've been praying about it. We've been really seeking the Lord, and He's going to do some incredible things this week. So it's next Sunday. Please see the table. Drop something in the offering bag on your way out and help us get there. Help us to really see the lives of these students change. So I'm going to pray for us. And again, if you need any prayer, any healing, any just love, come up here, please. Come up this way before you go that way. So let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your word that came forth today, God. We thank you that it's only by your word and by your blood that we're made clean and whole, Father. And so I just declare that over every single person, God, that we would leave here slime-free in Jesus' name. We ask that you would bless and protect every single person in this room, God. We thank you for this retreat coming up next week, God. We ask that the lives of our students would be forever changed. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, all right, remember to live right, love everyone, and pray hard. Pastor is getting cleaned up, and he will meet you in the foundry if you'd like to talk to him.